let's get into this. We need to find a case for our Gemara, a case that is a taina on a shvuah situation with karka that's not halach. Why? Because the Gemara or Rabbi Hudoi Gon asked that you shouldn't need a pasuk to teach me that I'm not chayav a shvuah, or Lefi Tosus' version, we shouldn't need Mishnayos to teach me that I'm not chayav a shvuah on karka, because every case of shvuah on karka, at least by modem mixas, is going to be halach. Because karka is automatically halach. So it's a good kasha. So the Gemara says not necessarily. What if it's a case of chafar babo reshich namaro? So unlike Rashi, who learns that means that you destroyed the property to a degree that you can't anymore say halach, the Rambam learns that it's talking about a totally different case. It's not talking about a case of a pikadon where you can't do halach because you destroyed the property, but rather it's talking about a case of nizikin, where the taina is coming from a place of nizikin. You damaged my field, and he's mod mimiksas only on part of the damage. Here, there's no halach. Here, halach isn't even shayach. What, you halach that I'm giving you back your field? The field was always his. There's a discussion whether money is owed because of damage that was done. So that's the Rambam's interpretation. Now, in the Rambam's description of the case, the Rambam says that this would be a great case of a theoretic shvua on karka that's not halach. And if it was not, weren't for the drasha that teaches me in nishbon ala karkos, so then for all we would know, you would take a shvua. Comes the drasha, the inishbon ala karkos, and now I know that we don't take a shvua. So what's the case? The Rambam says one person digs pits in someone else's fields, or so claims the nizak. Chafarta bishtayim, you were chofer in two fields. And he responds and says, I was only chofer in one field. So he's modiv mixas. It's not a case of halach. He should be chay b'shvua d'oraisa ki huzeh modiv mixas. Comes the drosha satora that it's karka einish bon ala karkos. That's the Rambam. The Ravid we said was masig. Ravid says, why is that considered a shvu on karkos? Granted, the story started with karka, but at the end of the day, this is a tfiya for d'mei nezikin. This is a case where someone is asking someone else to pay him money for damages. So it's money, it's not karka. Yeah, it's history is karka. Very nice, it's history is karka. But Lamaisa, right now he's in Beis Din, and he's asking for $100. And the other person is saying, I only owe you $50. Okay, it's $100 for damage done to karka. No, I only did $50 worth of damage to your karka. But you're not taking a shvu on karka. You're taking a shvu to say you don't owe the other 50. So it's standard modem mixas. It's not on karka. Why does the Rambam think this would be the case the Gemara is referring to, of a case of karka that's not halach, that needs a drasha in order to exempt him from a shvu? And the Ravid responds and says, Mela, if he came and he was towing, I want you to fill in the dirt. So then, Enochanami, I'm saying I want you to fill in $100 worth of dirt, and you're saying you only owe $50 worth of dirt. Seder, that would be a case of a shvuah on karka. But if he comes and says $100 versus $50, so that's not a shvuah on karka. So we need a hesber in the Rambam, because the Ravid does have a good point. Why should this be considered a shvu on karka? Lamaisa, right now, we're sitting in January 1st, there was damage done to my field. But it's now February 1st, and I'm sitting in Beis Din on February 1st, and I'm being towing kesef. So why does the Rambam not make the distinction that the Ravid made? So our first suggestion comes from the Ran and the Magid Mishnah, as explained by the Ktsos, which is that any tfiya which is ba machmas karka, the Rambam learns, has a din of karka. Even though right now I'm only claiming $100 and you're admitting to $50, but since it's deme karka, it's coming from karka, it retains its status of karka. And we gave this mashal of the doctor bill versus the collection agency. Kolzman, you're fighting with the doctor over the doctor's bill. So then this is a payment on medical treatment. But once it goes to the collection agency, it's just a chov. It's just a monetary chov. the collection agency, for all we know, they bought chovos from a dentist, they bought chovos from a orthopedist, they bought chovos from a podiatrist. Lots of, it's at this point, it's just a monetary chov. Now, there is a sugya where you see the Rashba learns this pshat very nicely in the Rambam, and he even uses slightly different terms in order for us to be able to say it, besides the way that the Ran says it, which is that it's a tviya, which is ba machmas karka, and therefore it's dino kikarka. But we have another way to say it, and we have to look at the sugya in Shvuos on Membeis Membeis. The Mishnah on Shvuos Membeis Membeis, we've read this Mishnah already a number of times in different contexts, but we never read this part of the Mishnah. The end of the, towards the end of the Mishnah tells us a very interesting line. Yesh devarim, Rabbi Meir Omer, excuse me, Rabbi Meir says, yesh devarim shehin bekarka ve'enon kikarka. There are certain things that are actually in the ground. They're bekarka. They're physically in the ground, but they're not kikarka. They don't have a din of karka. Ve'en chachamim modim lo, and the chachamim disagree. Keita, what's the case? Esther gefanim te'unos masarti lecho. Hello, Omer, Enon Ella Chamesh. We have a case where someone claims 10 vines, grape vines, that were tuunos, that were filled with grapes, I gave to you as a picadon to watch, and now you're giving them back to me. You should give them back to me. But hello, Omer, Enon Ella Chamesh. And he responds and says, no, 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 these 10 that are sitting here in the field, only 5 of these are yours. The other 5 are mine. You only gave me 10 to watch. You only gave me 5 to watch, excuse me, not 10. What's the din in this situation? This seems like a case of modim mixas. He's claiming 10 vines laden with grapes, and he responds that he only owes 5. Rabbi Meir Mechayev Shvur. The Chachamim Omrim call him a chuber lekarka, hareyu kekarka. So Rabbi Meir says, this is not like karka. This is what Rabbi Meir meant in the Mishnah when he said, Yesh tvarim shein bikarka ve'enan kikarka. And therefore, it's not considered a shvuan karka. These grape-laden vines are not considered kikarka, and therefore you're chayav shvua. The chachamim hold it's dino kikarka, and therefore you're pater. What is the case that's being described here? So if you look in the Gemara on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph asks, why is this a case of vines that are laden with grapes? Isn't the whole idea here that the vines, even though they're in the ground, the vines are not dino kikarka? And therefore, you could have a case with empty vines. The vines don't have to have grapes on them. Let him say, I gave you 10 vines to watch. And he responds and says, only 5 vines. Why is it dafka a case of vines that have grapes on them? Ella, the Rishonim will learn that it's poshet, that the Gemara's response is, that this is talking about a case of vines with grapes, but not just any grapes. Grapes that are so ripe that they're all ready to be picked. They no longer need to draw any sustenance from the ground. They are completely ripe and ready to be picked. And everybody agrees that the vines themselves are like karka. That wasn't the discussion. You're right. If the discussion was about the vines, so then the case would have just been a bunch of vines, no grapes on them. The vines, everyone agrees, is karka. The machlokas is about the grapes. The grapes, which are omdosli botzer, they're ready to be picked. What is the status of those grapes? The Pashat interpretation is like the Chachamim, that they're considered like karka because they're connected to the ground. They're on the vines. The vines are like karka. So just like the vines are like karka, the grapes should be like karka. Comes Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says, no, since they're ready to be picked, not just that they can be picked, but they're so fully ripened that they're done. They're not getting any more nutrients from the ground. And therefore, because they're so ready to be picked, their status in halacha is like metalpilin. They're like they were already picked. Shtar ha'omed legabos kegaboy dummy. Right, a shtar which is good, it's like it's already been collected. So too here, these grapes which are ready to be harvested are already dino kim, as if they're harvested. So according to Rabbi Meir, and here's the knetch that you got to get, or else you don't understand what's going on in the Rishonim. So according to Rabbi Meir, how do we look at it? The vines are karka. The grapes are metaltalin, even though they're connected. And therefore, this is a case where he's towing karka and metaltalin, and he's modu b'miksas karka u'b'miksas metaltalin. What's the halacha in such a situation? You're chayiv b'shvuas modu b'miksas on the metaltalin, because you were modu b'miksas ha-metaltalin and kafar b'miksas ha-metaltalin. With the grapes, I said 10 vinefuls of grapes, and you said only 5 vinefuls, and therefore your chayiv modu mixes on the metaltalin. And once your chayiv modu mixes on the metaltalin, what happens? Through the medium of Gilgal Shvua, you're now chayiv also on the karka. That is Rabbi Meir's shita. So Rabbi Meir, when he says in the Mishnah that there's something which is bikarka, ve'eno dino kikarka, he's not referring to the vines. He's talking about the grapes, which are omdos li botzer. And the din is your chayiv shvua. Chayiv shvua on what? Chayiv shvua on the grapes, but also on the vines through Gilgal shvua. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. But the chachamim hold that the grapes, which are omdos li botzer, even though they're ready to be detached, and as soon as you do detach them, they're going to be considered metaltalin. However, until then, kozman, that they're still on the vine, Danny, they're still considered connected to the ground. And it's dinan kekarka. And therefore, how do we look at this case when I say you owe me 10 and you say you only owe me 5? This is a moda b'miksas completely on karka. Because sai the vines, bane the vines, bane the grapes, are all considered karka. Because even though they're omdos li botzer, until they're actually harvested, they're dinam kekarka. This is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. Beautiful. Comes the Rashba and asks a bam kasha. Asks the Rashba as follows. Even if Rabbi Meir is right, again, according to the Chachamim, you're pater on a shvua because it's all karka. According to Rabbi Meir, the vines are karka, but the grapes are metaltalin, so you're chayv a shvua smodu mixes. And therefore, and then we're magalgal onto the karka. Asks the Rashba, even if you want to learn like Rabbi Meir, that the anovim ha'omdos li botzer are dinam kimetaltalin, lemaisa, because they're mechuber, they are mechuber in physical reality. So they're automatically going to be halach. Because when you say to me, I owe you 10, and I say, I only owe you 5, boom, at that minute, they're right there in front of you. Just like the vines are right there in front of you because they're mechuber lekarka, so too the grapes are mechuber lekarka. Oh, but he holds that they're like metaltalin. It's true, they're like metaltalin in halacha. So you can be mechayiv shvua, but al pi reality, they're still connected to the vines. Right? Tosos brings up the kasha. What if you would detach them on Shabbos? Are you not over on the Isser of Kotzer? Because you didn't detach anything. Al pi alacha, they're like metaltalin. Anovim ha'omdos li botzer kibitzuros damyam. They're considered like they're already detached. So maybe halachic man, when he puts on his halachic glasses and he sees someone detaching a grape on Shabbos, he says, oh, that's not Isser on Shabbos because al pi alacha, those are already detached. That wouldn't be the case. What do you mean? I thought al pi halacha, they're already considered detached. They're already considered detached in terms of considering them like metaltalin legabe dinei shvua. But they're not in reality considered detached. And therefore, when it comes to the question of halach, we want to know, what does halach mean? Halach means that the minute you admit, it's already being given over to the mafkid. So the minute you admit, it should be halach. So how can Rabbi Meir say you're chayev shvua in this case? Hare, every case of vines that are laden with grapes that come into a situation of modu mixas, even if you want to be mechadesh, that you will fundamentally trigger a chiyuv shvuas modu mixas because it's dino kimetaltalin, lamaisa, every single situation, though, will end up being halach. And since we paskin like Rav Sheshis and Bava Mitzia and Daf, hey, Amid Aleph, that halach is chayiv. Sorry, that halach is pater. We don't paskin like Rabbi Chiya. We paskin like Rav Papa. So since that's how we hold, excuse me, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, since we paskin like Rav Sheshes and Dalet Amud Aleph, that Haluk is Pater, so why does Rabbi Meir here in Shavuos on Mem Beis Amud Beis say you're going to be Mechayev Shavua? No, you won't. You theoretically will be Chayev Shavua because it's Dino Kemetatlin, but you'll end up being Pater because it's Haluk. So says the Rashba, this is such an uber cheshbon here by the Rashba. So the Rashba, so he says, okay, it should always be Haluch according to Rabbi Meir. So says the Rashba, quoting from his Rebbeim, it must be a case where they're not just omdos the butzer, but they're already detached. What do you mean they're already detached? Meaning, on January 1st, when you gave me the 10 vines, they were vines with connected grapes on them, but grapes that were omdos libatzer. Now, on February 1st, when you're asking for them back, they don't have the grapes on them anymore. Remember, they were omdos libatzer. So I harvested them. So I harvest the grapes. Now you're claiming back for me, you want 10 vines plus 10 vine full of grapes. And I say back to you, it's only 5. That's what the case must be. Because if the grapes are still connected, you will always enter a situation of Haluch. And then Rabbi Meir can't say that you're Chayiv Shvua because we pass like Rav Sheshes. And don't tell me Rabbi Meir and the whole Mishnah is going Delok Ilchasa, and the Gemara is all Delok Ilchasa. But that doesn't solve the problem, says the Rashba. You know why? Because now you just get into another problem. If it's true that the grapes are already disconnected, well, then what's the sheet of the Chachamim that I'm putter on a Shvua? Remember, the sheet of the Chachamim is that you're putter on a Shvua. Why? Because it's a Shvua on Karka. Why is it a Shvua on Karka? If you want to tell me that the grapes are still connected, I understand it's a Shvua on Karka because the grapes are still connected and they don't accept the Chiddush of Rabbi Meir that Anavim Hom, those Dibatzer, is considered already like Metatlin. But if we have to make an Okimta in the case that the grapes are already detached now on February 1st, so now everyone should agree that it's a case of metatlin, and according to everyone, you should be chayav shvua. Why do the chachamim say you're potter? If I want to say over this serious cheshbon of the Rashba, in other words, I would basically say it like this: it's a maman of shach. Today on February 1st, when we're in court, and you're claiming 10 for me, and I'm saying only 5, we have a machlokas: chayav shvua or not chayav shvua? I don't understand. If the grapes are still connected, so then even if you want to consider it metatlin, I should be putter from a shvua because it's halach. And if the grapes are not connected anymore, so then everyone should agree that it's a taina on karka and metatlin, and there should be a modu mixas shvua, and you should be chayiv a shvua. So either I don't understand the shita of Rabbi Meir, or I don't understand the shita of the Chacham. Because no matter which case you tell me, someone's going to be a problem. If you tell me the cases that the grapes are now disconnected on February 1st, on January 1st, when you gave them to me, they were connected, but now they're still connected. So then it's Haluch and Pater. And Rabbi Meir Shita doesn't make sense that you're Chayav Shvua. And if they're disconnected now on February 1st, they were connected January 1st, but now on February 1st, they're no longer connected, so then everyone should agree that I'm Chayav Shvua. And the Shita of the Rabbanim don't make any sense. So says the Rashba, it's avada the case that that they are no longer connected. They started out connected, and now they're not connected. Okay, so why doesn't everyone agree that you're chayav shvua because they're disconnected now? It's metalpalin. The reason is because both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim hold of a very important yisod, and the yisod is that we define if something is considered a case on karka or metatlin based on the shas hapikadon. It's based on January 1st. It's based on when the fruits, the vines, were given over. Not today in court on February 1st. Now we're just trying to figure out the details of the halacha. But the case and all of the determining characteristics of the case are all based on January 1st. They're all based on when you gave me the vines. At that point, everyone agrees that the grapes were on the vine. They were anovim that were omdos libatzer. They were very ripened grapes on a vine. Rabbi Meir holds that means that then already they were dino kimetaltalin. Of course now they're dino kimetaltalin. Of course now they're disconnected. But Rabbi Meir's mechadish that even back then, January 1st, b'shas ha-pikadon, they were considered metaltalin, and therefore I'm going to be chayev b'shvua if I mow the mixus today, February 1st. And the chachamim hold, no, back then on January 1st, they were not considered metaltalin. They were considered karka, because lemaisa, they were connected to the vine. So they're dino kekarka, and yam not chayev b'shvua. But since now they're not connected, Rabbi Meir doesn't bang into the problem of Halach. Meaning, the whole problem we had with Shitas Rabbi Meir is that Lamaisa, if they're on the vines, even if you should be Chayav Shvuah because they're considered metalpalin, it should be considered Halach and you should be Pater from a Shvuah. The answer is no, they're no longer on the vines now. So it's not automatically Halach. I mean, it could be Halach if you offer them right away, but it's not automatically Halach. Rabbi Meir says you're Chayav Shvuah. Why are you Chayav Shvuah? Well, you're chayav b'shvua because on January 1st, b'shas pikadon, they were considered metatlin. So therefore, it's a modem mixes of metatlin and you're chayav b'shvua. Oh, why isn't it haluch today, February 1st? Because they're not on the vines anymore. They could have been eaten. They could be lost. They could be hidden. It's not necessarily haluch. And therefore, he says, you're chayav b'shvua. In a chanami, if you still have them and you give them over, it'll be haluch and you won't be chayav b'shvua. But he could still justifiably say that you're chayav b'shvua because you are chayav b'shvua. And it's not automatically Halach. So the Rashba's Yisod in this whole sugya in Shavuos is that we look, if we want to determine, is this considered a Shavua on Metaltalin or is it a Shavua on Karka? We look at the Shas Pikadon. We don't look at the Shas Piraon. We look at the Shas Pikadon. We look at the time that it was entrusted, not at the time of payment. And everybody agrees to that Yisod. And the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim is, Bishas Pikadon, when you gave over those 10 vines, were those grapes already considered metatlin, or were they still considered karka? Says the Rashba, I know this is a big Kiddush, but it's the only way to explain the Sugi and Shavuos to make sense. Where in the world do I get this Yisod from? So the Rashba says, it's Pashal in the Sugi that this Yisod is MS, but I can bring you a Raya. You want a Raya? It's Shitas HaRambam, in Bava Metzia and Daf Hamad Aleph, Chafer Bo Shichru Ma'aros. What's the raya from the Rambam? Because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Toin V'Nithon, as we saw, Perikei Alacha Aleph, the Rambam writes that if you're Chofer in someone else's field, and you say you were Chofer, so, and he says you were Chofer too, and you admit to half, you say you were Chofer only one, it's considered a modem mixus ataina on karka, and you're Pater from a Shvua. Why is it considered a modem mixus ataina on karka? Right now, February 1st, when I'm being asked for the money, and I'm modu mixas and kofar b'mixas, he's just asking for money, as the Ravid asked on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam say this is considered a case of karka? And the answer is because we don't look at February 1st, b'shas piron. We look at the history. We look at when the event happened. In Shavuos, what was the event? It was a pikadon, giving over a pikadon. In the Rambam, Hilchos Toin V'Nithon, Perikei, what's the event? It's the Nezikin. So we look at the Shas Nezikin. At the Shas Nezikin, what was it? And the answer is, it was Karka. It's true. Today on February 1st, when we're in court, I'm asking you for $100 in money, and you're only admitting to 50. But we don't look at the Shas Piron. We go back to the Shas HaNezek. And at the Shas HaNezek, back on January 1st, this was Karka. So the Rashba takes from our Rambam, learns Pshat in our Rambam, that you see from the Rambam that we determine the status of something. Is it Karka or is it Metaltalin, Legabe, the Din of Shvua, being Chayav or Patr and Shvua, based on the Shas Maisa, whether it's the Shas Pikadon, whether it's the Shas Nizikin, and we don't look at the Shas Piron. What does the Ravid hold? Apparently the Ravid holds, not like this Yisod. The Ravid holds, we look at the Shas Pikadon, Shas Piron, the time of payment. And therefore, the Ravid is masig on the Rambam. And the Ravid says, if you're towing Lamalos HaGumos, so then it's Karka. And if you're towing Kesef, so then it's Kesef. And if you're towing lamalos hafiros, so then it's karka and you're patur on a shvua. And if you're towing for kesef, then it's metalin and you're chayav a shvua. So the Rambam looks back in the past. The Ravid looks right now in the present. And the machlokas here, the Rambam and the Ravid, the Rashba says, I think there's a raya for the yesod of the Rambam from the sugya in shvuas. I think that's what underlies the entire sugya in shvuas. So this is Mahalach number one in the Rambam to explain the Rambam. And it's, we called it the Mahalach of the Ran. We called it the Mahalach of the Tzos. But we should really call it the Mahalach of the Rashba. Because the Rashba says it kimat mefurish in the Rambam. And it's a very, very nice hesber in the Rambam. And it's very important you so it emerges. When you want to determine if something is considered a karka, i.e. is it chayiv in a shvua or not. So you don't look at where we're holding Bishas Piron, but rather you look at where we're holding Bishas Maisa. Okay, that is Mahalach number one. Mahalach number two is equally Gishmak, if not more Gishmak. And I want to share with you the following. Let's say we don't accept everything we just said. Let's say we don't go with that Mahalach. Maybe this whole idea that for the Rambam, everything's based on the Shas HaPikadon, and it's not totally on the Shas HaTviya. Let's say it is totally on the Shas HaTviya. There's still another Mahalach that we could say in the Rambam, which is so yesodistic that even if you were totally happy with the first one, you're sitting here like, what do I need another one for, Rebbe? It's a great Mahalach. It's a Rashba. What's better than the Rashba? It's so yesodistic, this other Mahalach, that I think it's important that I share it with you. And I'll ask the following question before we begin, because the Rambam says that we're talking about a case of Nezikin. Now, we're not learning Bava Kamma together yet. But if we were learning Bava Kamma, one of the most fundamental questions we need to ask about Nezikin in general is, why am I chayiv in Nezikin? When I break your window, why am I chayiv? Is, and here's a chakira.
Rambam says gzela.
Is the mechayiv, we're going to get to gzela in a second. Is the mechayiv of Nezikin, is the mechayiv of Nezikin? Oh, I understand what you were just saying. You want to know what's the isser of mazik. That's a separate question. Eliezer was asking, is there an isser of mazik? Or is it just a chiyuv tashlumin? If you're mazik someone's property, you have to pay. You didn't do an aveira. Is there an aveira? And if there's an aveira, what is the aveira? That's one question. Rabbeinu Yonah, we saw in the beginning of the year, Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos, we learned that from Losigzol. That's what Eli was just making reference to. But I'm asking a different question, Eliezer. I'm asking, what is the mechayiv of the tashlumin? Whether there's an aveira or not, what is the goal of paying back Nezikin? Is it, or the kind of corollary question is, what is the problem with Nezikin? Is it the fact that I destroyed your object, what we would call ibud hachefetz? Is it that I destroyed your object? Or is it that I caused you a financial loss? Which one is the Nezikin? Now, obviously, in most situations, those two things go hand in hand. I have a glass cup in my hand right now. If you would take my glass cup and smash it on the floor, so you both destroyed my object and you caused me a loss of money, however much this cup costs. So in that situation, there doesn't seem to be a difference. You both broke my object and you caused me a financial loss. But there are going to be nafkamina cases. Like, for instance, hezek she'eno nicker. What's a case of hezek she'eno nicker? I have a nice gishmak piece of meat. And it's tahor. And I'm a kohen. And I'm about to eat this meat. And you come over and you touch my meat with a dead sheretz. You have a dead sheretz in your hand, and you touch my meat with it. So now you were just mitame. Let's say it's truma. So I have truma. I'm holding truma. I have an apple, truma apple in my hand. And I'm a Kohen, and I'm about to eat the truma. And you come over, and you touch my apple with your dead sheretz. You were just mitame my apple. Now, did you destroy the object of my apple? No, it's still the same shiny red apple. The object, in fact, if you did it in the middle of the night when I wasn't looking, I would have no idea that you touched my apple with the sheretz. You didn't leave any like sheretz blood or guts on my apple. Sheretz is already dead. You just touch it with it and that's it. And you walk away. So it's hezek sheino nicker. It's hezek that's not recognizable. It's not able to be discerned. So if the mechayiv of Mizikin, so are you chayiv to pay? Because now I can't eat the apple. I just lost a dollar for the apple. If the mechayiv is ibra chayfetz, if that's what Mizikin's all about, let me first say, everyone agrees you're a bad guy. And everybody agrees that you did something not nice. But are you chayiv as a mazik? If the chayiv of mazik is dependent on destroying the object, you didn't destroy my physical object. If the chiyuv is causing a loss of money, you caused a loss of money. What if we learn that it's ibra chayfetz? So what, then you can just go around and be metame people's things? No, you still probably owe me money because you stole from me, you caused me a financial loss, but it's not the din of nezikin. Nezikin has lots of halachos to it. You pay from iddis. If it's the first time that a shur does it, it's chayiv chatzi nezek. What if somehow the shur does karen, and it's a hezek sheino nikar? I don't know exactly what the metzias would be, but just theoretically. So would he be chayiv and chatzi nezek or not? It's a chiddush by nezikin. If the yesod of nezikin is ibra chayfetz, so then no. If the yesod of nezikin is chesron mamon, so then yes. And the corollary issue is not just what's the mechayiv of nezikin, but the corollary issue is when I pay, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to give you back your object? Or am I trying to make amends the money that you lost? Let me first give you such an amazing nafkamina that Rav Soloveitchik said over. I think he might have said it over from Rav Chaim. We're going to say it in more modern terms, but it is such a geschmack nafkamina. Listen to this nafkamina. Okay, I am a fan of Picasso. And I have a Picasso painting in my house. It's worth $1 million. And I happen to know, as a big Picasso collector, that there are only two Picassos or paintings, right? Everyone knows that. There are two of these Picassos. Let's say this Picasso is called, Flowery Meadow. Okay, there's two Flowery Meadows in the whole world. They're each worth $1 million. I own one of them, and the other one is up for sale right now in an auction with Sotheby's. Sotheby's auction house. It's up for sale. So I go down to the auction house and I buy the other one for $1 million. I am now the owner of two Picasso paintings. Now, that night, I hang up my two Picassos on the wall. I go to sleep very happy that I own the only two Flowery Meadows in the whole world. In the middle of the night, you break into my house and you burn one of my Picasso paintings. But guess what? It's in the news the next day. I now own the only Flowery Meadow in the world. And guess how much it's worth now? $5 million, because there's only one of them in the whole world. So are you chayiv as a mazik? If the mechayev of Hezek is destroying an object, yes, you destroyed an $1 million object. You're chayev to me $1 million. Oh, but now I just made $4 million out of this whole thing because my painting's worth $5 million now. That doesn't matter. That's not your business. What does that make a difference? You came into my house. You destroyed my $1 million painting. You're chayev for destroying my $1 million painting. But if the mechayev of Nezikin is causing a financial loss, then you're not chayav for destroying my object. It's true you destroyed my object, but there's no problem with destroying people's objects. The problem is causing people financial losses. And by burning my painting, you didn't cause me a financial loss. In fact, you even made me gain money financially. And I guess the way we could have said it is if there's only one left and it's worth $2 million now. So now what does it make a difference to me if I have two paintings each worth $1 million or if I have one painting worth $2 million? You didn't cause a financial loss. That's the famous nafkamina they say over about whether the mechayev of nezikin is ibra chayfetz or whether it's chesron mamon. But lemaisa, why is this necessary for us? Because what is the intended goal of making a nezikin payment? Are you coming to be mashlim the chayfetz? Right? If nezikin's all about ibra chayfetz, causing the object to be destroyed, is the payment coming to be mashlim the chayfetz? Or is the payment coming to get rid of the chisaron mamon that you caused by doing the zikin? It's the Machane Ephraim, one of the great early Lomdish Achronim. The Machne Ephraim writes that it's pashut to him that Nezikin is all about Ibur HaChefetz, and the payment of Nezikin is about Hashlamas HaChefetz. And he says that he has a raya for this from the Rambam. The din is that when you steal from someone, your obligation to pay him back for stealing, not Nezikin, stealing, the Gemara in Meruba tells us, is Kishas HaGzela. You pay Kishas HaGzela, which means that if you steal my painting or you steal my baseball card on January 1st, and now we catch you March 1st. So it doesn't matter what the painting is worth March 1st. All that matters is Kishas HaGzela, at the time of Gzela, January 1st. So if January 1st, the baseball card was worth $1 million, it doesn't matter that by March 1st, it went up to $5 million. And it doesn't matter that by March 1st, it went down to $1. At the Shas HaGzela was worth $1 million, you owe me $1 million. Says the Machne Ephraim, this is not the case, though, when it comes to Nezikin. By Nezikin, since the Yisod is Hashlamas HaChefetz, it's to get you back the object. So you have to pay whatever the object is worth when you're paying back. Makes a lot of sense. If you break my glass cup, so now I come to you March 1st, I say, listen, buddy, 2 months ago you broke my glass cup. I want a new glass cup. So he says, okay, great. What does a glass cup cost today in IKEA? However much it costs. So that's what I'll pay you, so that you can go buy yourself a new cup. Because the idea here is not the money. The idea here is to get you back your object. So whatever your object costs today is what you're going to pay. And he quotes a Rambam. The Rambam writes that if somebody breaks somebody's chavis, and the chavis is worth $4 on the Yom HaShuk and $3 on a regular day, so if he comes to pay him on the Yom HaShuk, he has to pay $4. If he comes to pay him on a regular day, he pays $3. What do you mean? How can it fluctuate how much he pays? Just based on what day he's paying back? Yeah, because the Yisod of Nezikin is to be Mashlim Nechefetz. So you pay based on whatever it's worth on the day of payment. So, according to this, the Machne Ephraim says, the Rambam in Hilchos Toim Benitan Perakei, when he's talking about someone damaged someone's field, and I say, you damaged two fields, and he says back, you only damaged one field. So this is considered a Tfiyan Karka. Why is this considered a Tfiyan Karka? In fact, the Ravid jumps on the Rambam and says, this is only a Tfiyan Karka if you're asking him for Karka. If you're asking for money, it's not a Tfiyan Karka. Says the Machne Ephraim, Avada, it is a Tfiyan Karka. Even if you're asking for money, Lemaisa, why are you asking for money? To be Mashlim Nechefetz. If you're Mazik my field, so your obligation as a Mazik is to be Mashlim Nechefetz and to give me back my field. So even when I'm asking you for $100, it doesn't matter if I'm asking you to be Mamale the Gumos. Even if I'm asking you for the $100 that it's worth, that money is not money. That money is a medium in order to buy dirt, in order to refill in the holes. Because the Yisod of Nezikin is that whatever you pay, you're paying in order to be Mashlim the Chefetz. And that's why if it's the Yom HaShuk and it's worth four, you pay four. And if it's not the Yom HaShuk and it's worth three, you pay three. Why? Because it's not about the dollars and cents. It's about what does it take to get this guy back his chefetz. And therefore, says the Rambam, unlike the Ravid, it doesn't matter if you're claiming the money. It doesn't matter if you're claiming the dirt. Lemaisa, if it's a case of Nezikin, what are you claiming? You're claiming the dirt. Because even if you pay me money, that's money that should be used to fill in the dirt. Because that's the Yisod of Nezikin. Now, does he have to use the money for that purpose? Not necessarily. He doesn't have to use the money for that purpose. But you as the Mazik, your obligation is to give him whatever it takes in order to be able to be Mashlim Nechefetz. And therefore, says the Machne Ephraim, this is the reason why the Rambam here writes that this is considered a tashlumen of karka. And that's why the shvua you're taking is a shvua on karka and you're pater from a shvua. It's a mode of a mixus on karka. It's a mode of a mixus on a payment that's coming to be mashlim karka. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you actually claim karka or money. It's always going to be considered a shvua on karka and you're going to be pater. All of this is l'umas the Ravid.
The Ravid apparently learns like the other side of our Chakira, says the Machane Ephraim. The Ravid learns that when I'm coming to pay in the Zikin, it's not to be Mashlam the Chayfetz, it's to make up for the Chisaron Mamo. And therefore, the Ravid holds that this would not be considered a Shvuah situation. Now, the question remains on the Ravid. Why then, if you're actually towing Karka, is it considered a Shvuah Karka? When Mice, according to the Ravid, if he's really holding, like the Machane Ephraim says, that it's all about Chisaron Mamon, and it's about being Mashlim, that Chisaron of Mamon, so then it also shouldn't matter what you're towing. Even if you're towing dirt, it's just to be able to give you back your money, and it should never be considered a Shvuah Karka. So that's something that needs to be worked out according to the Ravid. But this is the Mahalich of the Machane Ephraim. And when all the dust settles, we end up having two Mahalchim in explaining the Rambam. We have the Mahalich of the Rashba, that anytime we're dealing with a case of Modu Miksas, we always look at the Shas HaMaisa. We don't look at the Shas HaTviya. And therefore, since B'Shas Maisa, this was Nizkei Karka, the Tashlumen is considered a Tashlumen, which is Ba Machmas Karka, and there's no Shvuah, because it's considered a Taina on Karka. That's the view of the Rashba. The view of the Machane Ephraim is that because this is a case of Nezikin, and Nezikin is all about being Mashlim Nechefetz, therefore, no matter what you're towing, and even if we do things based on the Shas HaTaina, let's say we don't accept the Rashba, we don't go based on the Shas HaPikadon, we don't go based on the Shas HaMaisa, we go based on the Shas HaPiron, even the Piron. Remember that we said, the Kasha we asked in the Rambam is, LaMaisa now, today, the Piron is Kesef, says the Machane Ephraim. It's not Kesef. When it's in the world of Nezikin, a Piron of Nezikin is considered Hashlomas HaChefetz. And therefore, if the Nezik was on Karka, the Tashlumen is also considered Karka. Two very beautiful Mahalchim in order to explain. That's right. Danny, you swing that over your head, because this is a beautiful, beautiful two Mahalchim here from the Rashba and the Machane Ephraim in order to explain the Rambam. What remains for us to do in the Sugya, which Bezras Hashem will do tomorrow, is to look at the Hasagas HaRaivit a little bit more in depth. We're going to get some big, big Yisoidus in Chavola and in other areas of Avodim and the Hekesh of Avodim to Karkos, in order to understand if the Ravid's Raya from Chaval to Bishnayim is a good Raya or not.